That's fun.
Oh, man. We're just sitting here talking politically incorrect stuff about our friends. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be my enemy if I talked about my friends. Yeah. All right, Radio Fishing, Area Fishing Report. Now, you are going to see sponsorship things on there. And it's $15 a week to buy a sponsorship and sponsor a spot on Radio Fishing. I'm not doing it for the extra money. I am doing it so I can put two people on the floor so that we can dedicate ourselves to doing your fishing reports once a week. So this is not a money-making scheme. This is just so I can break even on this whole fishing report thing. We've been doing it as we have time. So we're going to dedicate a day to it. If you would like to sponsor one of the places, you're going to see, you know, like Ray Smith Excavating is sponsoring the Port Charlotte Canals, and, you know, there's several other ones on here. We've got Murdoch Tire, a bunch of people. But you're going to see what happens with that. And we're going to have you on the sponsor with the click link to wherever you want it to go on your spot. And we'll give you a little promo here on Radio Fishing as well for your $15 a month. So, in the chair today, $15 a week, yeah. All right. Yeah, that's
sponsor. Do I hear a day?
So, yeah, $15 a day. Now that I'd be making money.
Right?
That would be cool. Yeah, if you want to pay $15 a day, you are welcome to. No problem. But in the meantime, Fishing Frank in the chair, Robert in the chair, across me, Captain Morris over in the guest spot, hot spot. And we're going to start this with the Peace River system. Anybody heard anything on the Peace River?
Just some up there by the spill dam at Shell Creek. Yeah, been some juvenile tarpon, some catch and release snook, a few gar getting washed over that guys have been catching. Other than that, I haven't heard much else. How about you, Morris?
I've actually caught some bass there when it's been running over really heavy, too, on the saltwater side.
Right.
So it's not unheard of to catch a largemouth there as well. But upriver, way upriver, we're talking way up Gardner and all that. That's getting really high right now and blown out. But the bass fishing when the water was lower was really going off up there. A lot of largemouth up near Gardner. From the Gardner boat ramp down and up.
Where's Gardner?
Gardner is up north, like out of Arcadia, going on
like the Bowling Green.
Yeah, well, not even that far up. No.
Oh, okay.
I know there's what's the town upriver? Wachula?
Nakati.
Nakati's this side of it.
Okay.
Yeah, when you pass Arcadia and you're going up 17 out there, you go by. That? You know where the golf course is there? There's a big golf course on the right. Right before you get to that is there's a little sign that says boat ramp, and you can turn and put the boat in there.
All right, I'll add it to the where to go fishing spots on our website for everybody so we can get more defined on it.
Here's a little tip. Go during the week. During the weekends, it turns into Airboat Central.
Yeah, you got to go during the week. Well, our people are pretty smart. They go during the week anyway. Okay, moving on down. We are going to come. Oh, there we are right there. Down to the 41 bridge.
The only thing?
Tarpon at night, snook, triple tail. Nighttime is.
Yeah, the nighttime's been absolutely amazing this whole last 10 days.
Snapper under the bridge there.
Hearing of some snapper.
Black drum.
Okay. During the daytime or nighttime for those guys?
Doesn't matter on those guys.
Okay.
Yeah. Under the bridge, you know, half or whole crab. These are tackle buster drums, so you better bring your A-game.
Yeah, 50-pounders.
Your A-game tackle for those.
It's pretty good time. You know, and you just fish right there along the shadow line and right around the pilings themselves.
Yep, keep it on the bottom where they're going to be at. And, you know, don't be surprised if you catch a big old redfish under there doing that, too.
Right.
Or a crab. Or a snook, a big old snook. Yeah, not so much right now, but a little earlier in the year and later in the year, those big snook will eat that crab too.
Yeah, that always surprises people that come in and they were fishing for black drum and they catch like a 25-pound snook on a, you know, 5-inch blue crab. That's, and they're always puzzled.
That was the only snook bait I ever used up in up off Riverside there, up by Harbor Heights.
They love
them. There's that big sandbar that comes out when you're making that turn where the river goes from the channel switches from the Punta Gorda side over to Harbor Heights. There's that big sandbar with that little cut in it, mm-hmm. big crab there, and that was 40-inch snook place.
That's right.
I mean, you wait for a while, but when it did come, whoa, big fish. Yeah. All right, Lashley Pier, anything going on there?
I honestly have not heard anything off of there this past week.
I haven't heard a word about Lashley Pier. Right. I haven't even seen a lot of guys out there because it was really crappy weather last week, right. early in the day, right on through.
Question marks there. Now Bayshore Pier. Anything going on at Bayshore Pier? From what I'm hearing, the sharks are doing pretty good over there.
Yeah, I've heard of a couple juvenile bull sharks, a couple short cobia with one legal-sized cobia. And there hasn't been any whiting there, so the guys have actually been coming in here and using the ladyfish and the frozen thread fins. A lot of guys have switched over from sardines over to thread fins off
I've
of there.
I've actually been using them. They're pretty good. I didn't think they'd be that good at frozen bait, but I've caught a lot of different species on them. I haven't carried any live bait with me in the last several trips. I got to go out tomorrow, and all I'm taking tomorrow is frozen bait, and I'll have some live shrimp with me, but I haven't done that in the last few trips. I'm going to switch over to see about some live shrimp. Dad wants to target some trout tomorrow. So I got to figure out where I can take that pontoon boat out and find trout. I got a couple of spots in mind, but it's a long ways from my house upriver over to the east side.
Yes.
That's a little over, it's an over an hour run with that pontoon boat. All right. Moving down from Bayshore Pier. We got the Port Charlotte Canals, and the Port Charlotte Canal System report is brought to you by Ray Smith Excavating, and it's real simple. If it's dirt work, hire Ray. These guys are very good at their job. They did my house, the site work on it. Pretty much everybody I know, Ray's been doing site work in town here forever. He's really good at it. Dad, you want to help out in the fishing report?
No, don't know where it is. Nothing lives in
there. Okay. So anyway, Ray Smith Excavating, give him a call. The phone number's right on the thing. If you click that little card on the excavator, Ray Smith Excavating, it'll show you more detail about the place. 941-979-8490, Ray Smith Excavating. All right, Port Charlotte Canal System, guys, what are we doing?
They've been doing actually really good on the juvenile tarpon. Some pretty nice-sized jacks right at the mouth. And then there's been some good mangrove snapper, an occasional oversized or big-sized black drum. Overall, it's been a lot of catch-and-release snook, but I am starting to get some reports with this rain now. The spillways have kind of petered out a little bit because we've had so much rain. They've had enough time to flow everything over, but all that fresh water coming through right now is actually starting to push out some sand bream. So some of the guys fishing behind their houses are doing pretty good on that. Or fishing in the canals, the biggest thing is you just got to fish up along that seawall. And, like Frank said, you use a little piece of peeled shrimp and pretend you're fishing for crappie. It's an ideal way to catch them with consistency.
Mm-hmm. I got a little way I like to catch them, too, that's just a little different.
What is it?
I take a small hook because they have a small snorkel-style mouth, obviously. But caught a gazillion of these things that way. And basically all you do is come into the shop, get you a couple tubs of worms, live worms, and...
The wigglers?
Yeah, you can use a wiggler, you can use a crawler, but if you use a crawler, I would pinch them in half or even thirds. And you just hook them a couple times on that, no weight at all. Just drop it down by your dock piling or whatever you're fishing at. Just let it fall to the bottom. When your line moves off, you've got one, and it's incredibly deadly on them. Not only that, but it's deadly on big sheep's head.
You don't want to join in the conversation, Dad?
I like it.
All right.
Okay. That's a pretty good idea.
It really works.
I do the exact same thing, except most often I'm using a bobber and a piece of peeled shrimp meat.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I'm putting the tail on, I never have the shell on the meat. They'll hit it 10 times more readily if mm-hmm. it's peeled shrimp or a worm. They're looking for something soft because, like you say, they got that mouth and it just extends way out. They can't suck it up otherwise. All right, well, that's going to take us out to the Elgin Beam Pier. What's going on at Elgin Beam?
I saw a bunch of bait there at Elgin Beam today, so that was a good sign. It looked like threads, but they were not huge either, but there was a big school of them when I was crossing over, headed out to Boca Grande today. There was nobody around them or getting any of them, but it's good to see a bait school in that far.
Right. There's been some jacks and juvenile tarpon, even some sub-adult tarpon right there around the bridge in the early mornings and even into the nighttime. The daytime fishermen have been getting, you know, a few trout and an occasional mangrove snapper, but because of all the rains and everything else, it's been a little on the inconsistent side there.
Yeah, it's that time of year.
Yeah.
So that's going to take
I don't think the fishing's bad. I think it's just the weather kind of screws mm-hmm. with people a little bit, so you get weird reports.
Mm-hmm. All right. In the Miyaca River system, this is sponsored by Murdoch Tire and Auto. And if your vehicle needs to be fixed, you walk in and say, Jim, it's doing this. That's what I've been doing for years. You know, I think everybody that works for me has been to Murdoch Tire now because
he's just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, literally, I sent a the young girl came in here. There was a young woman. She probably 17 or 16. Her car was having problems. I said, just go up, Murdoch Tire. They'll take care of you. They called me back and they said it was amazing because it ended up being really nothing, and it was like a pretty much nothing charge, and she just couldn't believe it that they didn't run up the bill on her. They're just right. Super honest, great people there at Murdoch Tire. It's easier, folks. I know all these people. I call them up and say, do you want to sponsor a spot? They're like, yeah, okay, what do you want? You know, so, you know, it's not like I'm trying to sell these ads, but it's nice when they're friends of yours, and I've known these people forever, and they're amazing. So, Murdoch Tire sponsoring the Miyaca River system. My cutoff, Tippy Canoe.
All around basically the north end of the Miyaca cutoff to going down along the north end, but riverside of Hog Island. Been hearing of a couple of trout, not any numbers, but a little bit better quality fish. There's been some catch and release snook along there. Last week a gentleman was in here and he said, or at the beginning of this past week, he got into a couple of bonnet heads and a couple of small, what he thought were baby bull sharks. Other than that, I haven't heard too much up inside the creeks as much as I would like to. How about you, Morris?
Other than seeing the thread school there this morning, that's the only thing I've
I gotta find somebody to give me some reports farther up on the river. Now, doesn't the Miyaca River go up to the Turtle Preserve?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it goes up way past it.
Well, it Turtle actually Preserves. Goes all the way up to Miyaca Lake if you want to be that way.
Well, yeah. Miyaca State Park, yeah.
Yeah, but the Turtle Preserve.
It's about a mile.
There's bull sharks. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy was in showing me pictures. I was astounded.
By water, it's about a mile.
I used to guide for bass up in the Miyaca up there past Snook Haven, and we would catch, you know, bass up to 12 pounds. We would catch snook,
it's actually
tarpon.
Called Sleeping Turtle Preserve.
Is that what it's called?
Yep.
Sleeping Turtle Preserve.
Yeah. By water, it's about a mile, three quarters of a mile up from Snook Haven. By car, it's about a mile and a half to 2 miles past I-75 up River Road.
Yeah, I've got the directions on the website.
Oh, okay.
It's on there. I'm going to add that to this because
it's a cool little park to walk. Easy, relatively easy access.
Something else that's up there,
hopefully
big catfish.
Yeah.
He's going to be sending me
freshwater
more pictures, more reports from up there. He said the snook fishing out there is just spectacular.
It can be, yeah.
Yeah, he's been catching all kinds of fish from Mayan cichlids and gar and just everything. He says it's great up there right now. So
I always used a 30-pound Mason hard leader when I was bass fishing up there with my shiners, because the very next cast, sometime you get 3 or 4 snook in a row before you got a bass or you get a tarpon, and you know,
and
game over if you don't have that.
And he's getting the bull sharks. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's caught everything from in below 3 feet to over 6. So, you know, you're going to have to use kind of a varied bunch of leader up there because you don't know what you're going to hit.
Right.
So, anyway, and he's actually doing pretty good on the jerkbaits, white and black or gray and black, you know, shad colors. And anyway, thank you, Murdoch Tire, for sponsoring the Miyaca River Report. South Gulf Cove canals. Anybody got any reports in the canals?
Big goose egg, to be honest.
Nothing for me on that one.
No. Oh, Jesus, what the hell did I just do?
Thought you got electrocuted the way you jumped.
Yeah, well, the whole thing just went crazy.
Did it cut out?
Okay.
I think I got it back. I don't know.
Morris has got to head out.
I got to run.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you sitting in on this, Morris.
Thank
you. Of course, I didn't have much to add on that one.
Yeah, well.
You always got a little bit of helpful
information. If we'd have started on the other end, I'd have had a whole lot.
Well, give me something on Boca right now while you're here.
Boca Grande. Get away from the pass.
All right, hang on.
Get up in the harbor.
Hang on just 2 seconds. Let him get down to it.
Give me the area you're talking about.
Okay, get up in the base, somewhere up way past the hill. Put a couple chum bags out, you know, have some live mullet with you and thread herrings and, you know, various other things that you catch, ladyfish, you know, when you're getting bait like that. Silver mullet work best. And put the chum bags out, put a couple balloon baits out, put a couple, soak them on the bottom and catch shark, catch tarpon, catch cobia.
Okay, well this...
You're talking about basically the kind of the... You could be out off side of the
Danger Reef. You could be off the artificial reef at Turtle. We're talking about the northern side of that area. And
basically out in front of Bull and Turtle Bay.
Bull
and
Turtle
area.
Bay, you know, Devilfish Key. Anywhere where the guys aren't fishing for tarpon, that's a good place to set up and catch them.
There you go.
Because they will chum up and they will be a captive audience when you chum them up. You don't have to follow them around or anything. They will actually come to you.
Oh, God.
Well, that'd be nice. I like it.
Don't be scared to use some wire because there are sharks. All the shark species are there right now. It's very, very good shark fishing.
Well, cool. Yeah, I have no idea what I did to my computer, but I actually hit some buttons, and I have no idea what's going on with this.
You got your phone?
So, anyway, well, thank you, Morris. I really appreciate the help. And... all right, I got to pause this out. We'll be back.
Maybe he should quit smoking.
Anyway, we're back. We did fix the computer problems. My computer actually looks like a regular computer again. And we have exchanged Captain Morris Campbell for Josh Olive.
I don't know if that's a fair trade, man.
Josh is here. And, you know, oh, come on, Josh.
I'm happy to be here, but.
Look at the crowd, man. Look at those people, the signs. Yes, Josh.
I don't know. These are big shoes. Size 32s.
I think you've got big shoes. Okay. I think we can deal with it. All right. Anyway, we're at the West Wall. What's going on the West Wall? And why is that there? Okay, West Wall. When I hit that button and it changed everything, it moved stuff on the computer.
Well, stop moving things around.
I didn't.
Don't move the West Wall, Frank. Somehow, nobody will be able to find it.
Somehow when I was hitting the space bar, I must have pushed on one of the other buttons and it threw everything into chaos.
And it moved the West Wall.
It did. So anyway, we're on the West Wall. This is sponsored by Luigi's. Dave, amazing pizza. I mean, just...
Amazing food in general.
Yeah, we go up there and that's where we do our fishing club up there. Now, Josh, you're going to be at the fishing club this next month.
Yes, I will. The 11th and 12th of July.
You and
me and Captain Mike Myers.
Captain Mike Myers.
You sure about that?
Robert's.
I've already
there.
Discussed it with him. He swears up and down he's coming.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see. But we're going to have quite a group up there. It's going to be myself, Captain Kale, Robert, Josh Olive, and Mike Myers. So it's going to be a good group up there. We've got a new format for the fishing club after 7 years now. We're changing it up, changing it over, and we've got a whole new format, and it's we tried it this last week. And
yeah.
Robert seems to like it.
I liked it. It was fun.
You like it. It's more different.
Yes.
It's a little more rapid fire, a little bit more interesting. We're going to see if we can keep that going. We're working out the details, and we've got a lot of AV stuff coming. I got a big 10-foot screen with projectors and stuff so that everybody can look at all these pictures, and we just got some amazing things going to be happening. And if everything works right, we're going to have enough audio-visual stuff to do recordings and actually have it broadcast so you'll be able to see what goes on at the fishing clubs. The mystery will be revealed.
I see. You know, for folks who are in Sheboygan and can't show up.
Yep, if you're in Sheboygan or Ottawa or New York City, you know.
What about Tulip?
Tulip? I don't know if they're going to be able to see it. Tulip does have issues.
Okay.
So if you're in Tulip, possible. We're only getting a 50-50 on that one now. All right. Anyway, thank you, Luigi's, for sponsoring the West Wall. Josh, anything on the West Wall?
Well, I've heard some spotty redfish. Guys have been having hit or miss.
Redfish,
I mean,
redfish with more than one spots or excluding
spotty action
single?
On spotty redfish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's been a hit or miss thing. It's been, you know, get in there and beat the bushes on those higher tides and cast a bait and let it sit. I mean, we're into our summertime pattern, so those fish are going to be a little warm. They're not going to be moving around too much, and they're wanting to hang out up underneath those shady areas, and that's where most of the guys have been having a little bit of success. But it hasn't been on fire or anything. It's just those diehard redfish guys who want to do it, but they're finding some more snook up underneath there, and those have been a little more willing to play. That's a good thing.
Same thing.
Well, it's a little bit harder to get the snook on the cut bait. They will take it, but if you throw a pinfish underneath there, and you know, you taught me a long time ago that a pinfish skewered on a jig head flops around a lot and makes a lot of stink up underneath there, and that really gets a predator's attention. So there's nothing wrong with skewering a pinfish on a jig head and tossing him up underneath there.
That works pretty good.
While you're waiting for your redfish to show up, if your redfish shows up.
Right. The ones I've been hearing about over on that side, though, most of them have been on that upper slot or over.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and not a lot on the middle or lower end. It's like you're really pushing the envelope if you do happen to find a legal one.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing about redfish is I don't really want to keep one now anyway. You know, with as hard as they've been to find, it's not really the first thing on my mind is to put that redfish on the cooler. What I want to do is I want to fight him and play with him and then let him go. Let him go off and be healthy. You know?
Fight me and play with me and you give him a good aerobic workout. I'm not sure. Now, I could be really wrong. And it could be just my natural political incorrectness going on, where if everybody thinks one thing, I'm naturally going to figure out how to think something else. But I think the fish enjoy it. I think they have a fun. I mean, they're sitting around kind of bored all day. There's nothing going on. It's not like they can look on their phone or check out the internet or watch a movie on TV. All of a sudden, somebody comes along and boom, and it's fight and thrash and everything goes on. And it's just big bunch of adrenaline and excitement. They get up to the boat, they get petted, and then they get released. They might even get a little free snack out of the deal. It's got to be fun for a fish. It really does. It's just got to be fun.
As opposed to osprey. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's an otter. Oh, crap. They hooked me. Oh, there's Flipper getting ready to grab me.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I suppose there's a level of fun that can happen but there's bad things that can happen, too.
Yeah, well, hey, life is full of good and bad. If you're out having fun and you're skiing going down a mountain, you can slam into a tree and die or get messed up. If you're on roller skates, you can fall and hurt yourself. If you're watching a movie, lightning can hit the house, travel through the wires, explode the TV in your face. Everything you do has risk.
That's very true. Driving here today was probably one of the riskiest things I've done.
Driving is always the single most dangerous thing you do to any event. You could go out to say, okay, I'm going to take motorcycles and jump across the Grand Canyon. Driving to the Grand Canyon is still going to be technically more dangerous.
So we'll fly.
So you'll fly. Yeah, that's true. Get your wings and fly away. Okay. Cape Hayes, we are at. What's going on in Cape Hayes?
A lot of bonnethead sharks hanging out around there on top of the bar, along with a couple of trout. There's not any good numbers, but they're a little bit better quality. Guys are catching those mostly on pinfish and shrimp. Bonnetheads are being caught on the shrimp. And then if you work your way off to the Boca Grande side of Cape Hayes along that trough there where it drops off heading towards Turtle Bay, there's been an occasional Spanish mackerel, bluefish, ladyfish. A couple of big stingrays have been hanging out there. If you're fishing right on the bottom with some cut bait, anticipating maybe a little bit larger shark, which has been coming through every now and then. Other than that, I haven't heard of any other species. How about you?
Well, for a little added fun, some of the guys who are fishing for trout have been catching little gags.
Remind me to ask you something. Pegleg is going to go for his captain's license. I'll find out when, and you guys might be able to go at the same time.
Okay.
Because Pegleg wants to get, he's got spinal bifida, he's missing a leg. You know, I think if he can pass the physical, you might be able to.
I might.
Might be able to.
If Bouncer Smith can pass, I might.
Yeah, so, you know, so. We'll see what goes on with that.
But yeah, some guys have been catching some smaller gag grouper over there. And of course, you're not going to find too many keeper gags up on the flats. But those little grass grouper that get abundant in some spots, those have been showing up over there. Not in huge numbers, but some guys have been catching three or four while they're trout fishing for a few hours.
Just a fun incidental bycatch.
Absolutely. And they're adorable. There's nothing like those little 8 to 12 inch gag grouper for a cute photo.
Yeah. Bright blue fin tips and everything else.
Yeah. Love them.
Well, that's going to take us into Bull Bay, Turtle Bay area, sponsored by Penn Reels and Rods and Tackle of all kinds. Penn products in general are being sponsored by Bull Bay, or sponsoring Bull and Turtle Bay. So, and of course, everybody knows now the secret nobody knows about that you're not allowed to know about is there's a new reel coming at ICAST. And, you know, like some other famous person says, I'm just going to share with my friends here. We won't tell anybody.
Uh-huh.
But
that's true. What a shocker, a new reel at ICAST. I mean, yeah. Who ever heard of such?
But it's very lightweight, very nice, machine cut gears. It's kind of a very light version of the Clash. So it's going to be a very cool reel.
Does it have a familiar name?
Yes, it does.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's just going to be called that and the number two, you know, like gotcha. You got the Battle Two.
Well, but the Battle Two and the Fierce Two were very similar to their predecessors. This is something totally else.
Yeah, it's going to look pretty similar, but it's going to have some really amazing gears and very lightweight. So it's going to be a pretty cool new reel coming out by Penn. We're very excited to see it. Hopefully it lives up to all the pre-expectations, even though no one's allowed to know. You guys get the
right, hopefully.
Hopefully they deliver it. On the time that they say they're going to also.
Yeah, we'll see.
So. I'll keep my fingers crossed on that production version. But you know how things happen from trying to get them into production. Sometimes it turns out a little different.
And believe it or not, there's a lot of other factors too, because it's coming on a ship. There can be terrorists. There can be pirates. There can be breakdowns. There can be
tsunamis.
All kinds of stuff. Tsunamis coming in. Yeah, who knows what all else. But anyway, thank you, Penn, for sponsoring Bull and Turtle Bay. So, what's going on in Bull and Turtle Bay?
Well, the only thing that I've seen in there has been sharks. And there have been enough decent-sized sharks in there that when we went in there and said, well, maybe we can find some, you know, trout, redfish, snook, that kind of stuff in here, we just kind of cruised around, watched all the sharks, and said, let's go fish someplace else. Because they didn't want to fish for sharks. But if you wanted to deal with some shallow-water sharks, there were some good-sized bulls and a couple of lemons in there that probably would have been a lot of fun to watch run around on the end of your line. And it's not often that you're able to actually find and hook those fish in daylight hours in such shallow water. So that would be an interesting experience.
And it's actually can be a much more intense fight because they can't sound or do a lot of stuff they would normally do. So it's a lot of straight out. You pull, they pull. Whoever pulls the hardest wins.
Yeah.
It's a real tug of war, real battle in that shallow. And the cool thing is it's a lot more visual because when they try and do a quick turn, the whole half the body comes out of the water and it's a big slashing splash. Yep. It's kind of like when they drift a car around the corner, you know, they got the squealing and all that going on. Well,
there's no actual squeal, but it's kind of the same idea.
Kind of the same.
You might squeal.
I was going to say you and the reel might be.
Yeah, you'll be squealing. All of a sudden, an 8-foot bull sharks does a U-turn back at you.
Right. Well, and if you're fighting an 8 or 9 foot fish in 2 to 3 feet of water, that's just something to see.
There's also been some juvenile tarpon in that back trough there going between Turtle Bay over towards Bull Bay, kind of by the Eagle's Nest, I guess. You know, and they've been there in the early mornings and in the late afternoons. We're starting to see some muddy water trickling in through some of those little feeder creeks from all this rain that we've been having, but there's been patchy clear, then a little bit stained, then patchy again. So.
All right. Well, speaking of patchy, Cape Hayes Reef, what's going on out there?
Honestly, the only thing I've heard about has been an occasional Spanish mackerel and bluefish off of it.
I talked to a guy who caught a handful of mangrove snapper off it, but that's all he did.
Yeah, it's been a little.
They weren't amazing fish either. They were keepers, but, you know, 11 inchers.
Yeah, with this weather, the way it's, well, not the weather, but the bait the way it's been, that just hasn't really stacked up really good the way it should right now.
Yeah, he was really hoping to find some cobia out there.
All right, were they mangrove snappers or were they dogtooth snappers?
Pretty sure they were mangoes. But this is a secondhand report. I did not witnessed the fish myself, so I suppose it's possible they could have been dogtooths.
Well,
heck, they could have been lanes.
No.
You know how people get.
I'm just, because now I've been hearing the predominant species of snapper in the harbor is actually dogtooth, not mangrove.
Yeah, that rumor went around a couple years ago. I asked a bunch of our science-y type people. I asked Betty from Sea Grant. I asked some of our FWC people, and they said, no, we think those are mangrove snapper. So, I don't know for sure.
Uh-huh. Robert.
I read the little journalistic-looking paper. So talked to him even about it.
From the FWC files?
It could have been.
Was this leaked by an anonymous source to the FWC
FWC files.
It was an ex-FWC file. Unnamed source that said the most prevalent snapper in the harbor are dogtooth, not mangrove.
Yep.
So... All right, no, so we're going to have to suspect this information.
All right. So let's go out and catch about, well, how many of us are there? We can get, what, 15 snapper? And we'll put them in our live well, and we'll bring them back here. We'll put them in the tanks at Fish and Frank's, and we'll raise them up and see what they turn into.
So you can't tell when they're small. You can.
It's harder to tell. It's real hard.
Okay. All right. So much for ex-FWC leaking information.
Hey, it's possible. I don't know.
I'm just going to put it down to another thing. I'm gonna consider it like I read it in New York Times. Possible 50-50.
There you go.
Possible 50-50.
Could be true. We're talking about two fish.
Okay. We're talking about what?
Two fish. It could be 50-50. So it is 50-50.
Yeah. I have to agree with him.
See, you know, just like you read it in a major newspaper. Maybe you should believe it. Maybe it's all BS. All right. Gasparilla Sound and the Tailing Flats.
That's actually been probably the most promising area to fish in general, especially for your redfish, trout, ladyfish, et cetera, because they're up near the bushes near the mouth of Whidden Creek, and then there's fish all the way out to the edge of the intercoastal, and you just drift and cover some areas fairly well, or post up, or, you know, use a sticket and hang out by one of the sand holes, fish it for a little bit, and then drift a little bit farther, post up again, fan cast the area. You know, so many different little varieties of things going on there, including some small to moderate sized sharks. I haven't heard of any tarpon in there in the last week or so, but they've been popping in and out of there for the last month, off and on, little schools of bigger adult-sized tarpon coming through.
Yeah, handful come and go. But, you know, follow the food. That's where the larger portion of the food has been, so that's where the larger portion of the fish are going to be. You know, that's where we're seeing some white bait, not huge numbers of it, some glass minnows, not huge numbers of that, but a lot more of the shrimp and the crabs down in that area. So where the fish are going to be. You got to eat.
What about Placida Trestle?
Placida Trestle, a lot of guys have been catching release snook at night lately. These last several days coming off of this moon, there's been some pretty substantial sized snook.
Now, is it a new moon or a full moon?
Coming off of a full moon.
Okay, so we've been coming off full moon. I should know that because it was bright out on the porch. But which usually means the night fishing is really good.
Right.
Full moon.
You know, and then there's been some good mangrove snapper being caught there at night, and occasional big bull red. Been a couple assortments of little sharks during the daytime. To be honest with you, I haven't heard of much going on out there.
The mangrove snapper bite reportedly has been decent. I mean, if you're looking for inshore snapper and you don't want to actually go out into the Gulf, or if the wind prevents you from getting out into the Gulf, that's the place where I've heard of guys going and doing okay. Again, we're not talking about huge snapper. You're looking at, you know, sub 13-inch fish for the most part. But it gives you a decent opportunity to go out there and actually catch some of them. I've also heard of a handful of pompano. Again, those haven't been huge fish, but they've been in that keeper range, 12 to 14 inches.
Well, you know, being that kind of turnabout is fair play, I guess I should offer you this because, you know, I help you with your show on Radio Waterline on 92.9 Kicks Country, and you help me with this one. Would you like a spot sponsorship?
A spot sponsorship.
Yeah, did you want to sponsor
Radio
Waterline?
Sponsor a spot?
What spot would you like to sponsor?
Well, I'm not sure yet. You and I will have to discuss what spot I'd like to sponsor and see what you have available and see, figure out what's in there.
If it's available, there's no mark by it.
I gotcha.
If there's no logo or link next to it, it's an available spot.
Okay.
So, $15 a week and you're all set for your sponsorship. Because you help me, I help you. It works good. I got
That's
stuff
nice.
On your show, you stuff on my show. Okay. So anyway, you can listen to these guys between 7 and 9 on Saturday mornings, Radio Waterline. We have two-thirds of the show right here, missing Captain Mike Myers, which is not that unusual.
No, not really. And half the time, even during our show, he's missing. So
even while he's there.
Yeah, while he's talking. He's missing. Yes. So, anyway,
two-thirds of Radio Waterline here, Kicks Country 92.9, and I found out you can listen to it on the iHeartRadio app.
You can. You can listen live through the iHeartRadio app. You can listen from anywhere you want to be. You know, like we talked about, Sheboygan, you're in Sheboygan, that's fine. You can listen to us from there. You can listen to us from Minsk. However, you cannot listen to today's show yet because it's still in my pocket on a thumb drive. I have not uploaded it to our website yet, which is the other way to listen.
Why are you slacking?
Because I'm that way. If you go
I will put the link so that people can just go right to the site to listen to it, you know, the recorded versions.
Yep. Yeah, and every show that we've ever done is posted on the website. We've got more than 3 years worth of shows now. So
you'll have when we put this up, when you decide what spot, that's where it'll link to, so you can go and listen to those shows, the recorded versions of that. Anyway, we are in Lemon Bay right now. Stump Pass, Lemon Bay Park. What's going on up there?
Most of what I'm hearing about is up there by Lemon Bay Park and going up the Intercoastal. Okay. Been some kayak fishermen there and a couple wade fishermen have been in this past week. Been doing good on some oversized trout, you know, 22-24 inch fish, catching them mostly on pinfish that they're catching right there. A couple of guys caught them on little tiny silver jennies, and then they were also doing really well on that 4 inch gulp, which surprised me because, you know, our 3 inch gulp is our number one seller hands down, but they were catching those bigger trout. They caught a couple redfish, a couple of small peanut snook, all throwing that 4 inch trout.
That 4 inch what?
Or 4 inch gulp. The 4 inch shrimp gulp.
For a second, I thought you meant a 4 inch trout colored gulp.
Yeah, sorry.
Hey, that could work.
Yeah.
Any particular colors
dyslexic.
You're using?
New Penny and the Molting were the two colors they were using. The other guy, he was throwing a white, a DOA that he bought. It was a jerk bait.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's surprising how much white's doing well right now.
Yeah, white and electric chicken.
Yeah, yeah, the chicken colors, the red and green is doing really good. Okay,
I did talk to a couple people who went in to check out Stump Pass. They wanted to check that out, and they said that they saw some tarpon rolling in there. They weren't able to get any to bite, but they said that there were fish in it, and they also said that there are some surprising depths in that pass now. So I have not had the opportunity to go up and check it out, but I'm going to as soon as I can.
Okay. Tom Adams Pier, the pier right there next to the bridge.
The only thing I've heard about is some juvenile tarpon and some catch and release snook at night. I haven't talked to anybody for fishing during the daytime over there.
I know there have been some little sharks up there. Guys have been catching them, little black tips, little bonnet heads, that kind of stuff.
Mixed variety, huh?
Yeah.
Not a bad thing.
No, not bad at all.
Takes us out into the Gulf of Mexico.
How far out?
As far as you want to go.
Wherever you want to go. Anywhere in the Gulf of Mexico.
Well, with Red Snapper's surprise opening, you know, it's an awesome opportunity to get out there and experience the deep, deep water in the Gulf. We talked about that quite a bit on the radio show this morning. And the other reasons to go out there besides Red Snapper.
How far out would you have to go? 40, 60 feet?
45.
You're looking at 110 feet and beyond.
45 miles, basically, is an ideal starting point to realistically get into the Red Snapper.
And when you're going out that far, you don't really want to stop in the shallower water and come up with those Bear Keeper 16, 17, 18-inch Reds. You want to go out and find the deeper water and get into those fish that are, you know, 22, 24 inches plus, so that, you know, you can only keep two per person, so you may as well find the big ones.
Gotcha. All right. And what else besides the red snappers going on out there?
The mangrove snapper and the lane snapper are starting to segregate themselves a little bit, getting into that post-spawn thing, because usually the July and August full moon is when they really do their real super spawns. So you'll find one reef is holding very, very good numbers of lane snapper, and then you move a mile away to another spot and it's mostly mangs. They've still been getting a few porgies, grunts. I've heard of a couple miscellaneous reports of small schools of bonita and Spanish out there from 7 to 15 miles. The weather's been so funky this past week with thunderstorms that only a handful of real serious anglers have been running out there, but they've been doing fairly well at most of the nearshore reefs.
Yeah, had some scattered reports of cobia, including some really good size ones, and schools of permit out there also. But it's going to be challenging to get out there. I mean, we're Saturday midday right now. Wind is already starting to pick up. It's supposed to keep blowing and blow harder tomorrow. And then into Monday, we're looking at 5 to 6 foot seas Monday through Wednesday. So it's going to be a little breezy out there.
That's going to be a little peppy.
Yeah, even in a bigger boat. I don't think I'd want to go out red snapper fishing then. And remember, red snapper's only open on the weekends. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday from now through September 4th, plus the July 3rd and 4th weekend, plus September 4th, which is Labor Day. Theoretically, of course. But the deal's already supposedly done. Yeah. So I don't know how they can back out of it now.
What are you talking about?
Well, in order to get these additional days of federal red snapper season, because, you know, we only had June 1st through 3rd. So in order to get these additional days, the feds and the states, the Gulf states, made a deal that the Gulf states were going to shorten their fishing seasons. So Florida's fishing season now matches the federal fishing season. So even if you're up in Pensacola, you know, the 78-day season that they originally had, they don't have anymore. Now it's a 39-day season and is both state and federal waters. And to make it even more confusing, they did not change the season for the charter boat captains, which was already set to run through July 19th. So when we get to July 19th, on those weekends after that, you and I would be able to run out and catch red snapper. On a charter trip, you'd have to let them go because your charter season will be closed.
I'm I right? Honestly, you know, if you know me, I have a very different political views, which change every few years, but I'm sorry, I gotta tell you, this last group and set up this stupid boards of something, they need to be looked into. These are not good people. You know, nothing's been done so far to change it in any kind of new structuring way, but it's something that really needs to be looked at.
Well, I expect the fact that we even have this compromise, that this compromise was able to exist, I suspect that we're looking at a change in the way that these fisheries are going to be regulated going forward.
I hope so, because it's just not fair that a $19 billion a year fishing, recreational fishing industry, which provides thousands upon thousands more jobs and employment and money and expands out to, should not be ruled by a $3 billion a year commercial industry.
But
they need to have theirs, and we should get ours. But the thing should be split, and minimum 50-50. They get 75 to 90%.
It's, well, with red snapper, it actually is pretty close to 50-50. I think it's 52-48.
They can fish them all year.
But with, well, I mean, we could talk about it all day. We really could. But with red snapper, they have individual quotas that only certain people are allowed to harvest those fish. And yes, they can fish them all year until they catch the amount that they're allowed to catch. And then that's it. They're not allowed to fish anymore. So there are quotas that regulate the commercial side of red snapper, too. But what I was going to say was, it's all about the value of your lobbyists. You know, as recreational fishermen, our lobbyists, we don't have much. We have the American Sport Fishing Association and CCA.
And the problem with CCA, it takes money away from the ASA, who actually gets stuff done.
Yeah, but yeah. That's about it for our voices. You know, nobody else is really out there arguing.
The Fishing
really
Rights
good Alliance
for a little,
was okay,
a little bit, and then all of a sudden they just kind of fell apart.
Yeah, they kind of went off the rails. Unfortunately, of that was their freewheeling, devil may care type of attitude coming from the top, which I get, and it had a lot of appeal. but it's hard to hold something legally together. You know, when your real goal is lobbying with that kind of an attitude, it's just challenging to do.
Right. The only thing is, the ASA, I think, is the most effective one.
I think that you're probably right. Yeah. And the ASA is mostly funded through fishing tackle companies. So, yeah. You know, when you buy a pen reel, some of that money is probably going to the ASA to help fund.
Most are members. I was good friends with the president of the ASA for several years, and I don't know who's president now because when he left, I wasn't as involved as I should be. All right. But thank you, Josh. Nice, really good points there. Wow. All right. We're moving on to the passes. What's going on? Stump pass, you said, possible tarpon.
Yeah, they said they weren't hooking any, but they saw them in there rolling around, and it's interesting out there. Be careful of that jetty. I believe it's marked at the end now, but if you're trying to cut short when you go out the pass and head north, you could still run across it. I'd run out a little ways before I did that.
All right. Anything going on in any of the other passes?
Yeah, Gasparilla Pass, Boca Grande, and Captiva Pass are doing fairly well with tarpon in the early mornings. They've been kind of moving back towards there in the late evenings and then throughout the nighttime. But I've heard of a couple of good reports of night fishing in Captiva Pass and Boca Grande Pass for a handful of legal size gag grouper. Some
night
catch and
fishing, where was I?
Captiva and Boca. A handful of oversized catch and release snook. You know, I've heard of some 20, 25 pound fish lately. Not surprising after this full moon, because that's one of their major spawns is May and June. And then there's also been some big bull reds and some monster ladyfish, like 3 and 4 pound ladyfish being caught through there at night, which is always a blast. I mean, you catch a 3 pound ladyfish and you think you got something, especially
really
with the
do.
Current on the passes there.
Yeah.
It's a
that's like
good
going
time.
Out and catching those 10 pound jacks. It's a real fight.
Yeah.
Nobody gives them any credit, but that's an awesome fish to catch. Those snook have been piling up pretty good down there towards Boca on the, not just the pass itself, but the southern third of the island off the docks that are down there. Those fish have been sitting in and just kind of
back
waiting.
On the inside.
Yeah, yeah. But they're feeding more heavily in the pass. You're more likely to see them down there in the 6 to 10 feet of water off those docks, and they're literally just piled up sitting there on the bottom.
Well, that brings us up to walking along the beaches. If you were in Venice, Nokomis, Boca Grande, Captiva, wherever, what would you be likely to be able to just walk along the shore, cast out, and possibly catch?
Stump Pass and Boca Grande, I've been hearing of some smaller schools of snook starting to pour out there. And then there's been some jacks, an oddball Spanish mackerel coming through. A couple guys have caught a couple of small sharks, bonnet heads mostly. Occasional black tip. There've been a couple of diehard night fishermen catching a couple big bulls, but very, very, very minimal reports on that. Other than that, I haven't heard much else super exciting. I haven't heard much for whiting. This is usually a time of year when the whiting are usually good up there at Stump Pass, but with all that previous construction, I just haven't heard much yet.
Yeah, I know the whiting have sucked. There have been, again, some pompano showing up in there, and again, not very big ones, but we've seen some pompano along Minnesota and especially up more towards Venice, Casperson to Venice Inlet. There have been pompano out there. A handful of flounder. Looks like they're probably Gulf flounder, not southern flounder, which was a little bit surprising to me. You usually expect to see southerns out there on the beach, but these definitely did not look like them. So
no
some
pictures
of that, going
that
on.
Your viewers are sending you?
Some of that is pictures that they send me. Some of it is stuff that I just see on Facebook randomly with all the folks that I deal with out there.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
Yeah, I've actually switched over looking more to Instagram for fishing stuff because Facebook is, I just don't see it much on Facebook anymore. It's
yeah.
Mostly political stuff, but I go over to Instagram and start looking around, it's just fishing pictures.
Well,
everywhere.
What you do is you prune your friends on Facebook when they start posting political crap. It's just, oh, okay, I'll chop that branch off.
No, I just unfollow. I don't unfriend. I unfollow because you keep them as friends, but you don't see the post.
If I'm actually friends with them, yes, I will. If I'm not actually friends with them, with which most of my Facebook people I'm not actually friends with, I just cut them off because then I can find somebody else and I got room for somebody who actually does go fishing.
Most of these people fish, but like fishermen, like everybody else, have their own political opinions, and I don't care which one people are for. I just, you know, I want to, my social media stuff is just about fishing, you know, so if they don't post any fishing pictures and it's just all, you know, now some of the food pictures I don't mind too much, you know, some of the food looks pretty good, but
right.
Other than that, I'm just unfollowing to try and get more, just, you know, so I can find out more about the fishing. But, you know, I wouldn't unfriend somebody over their political views. I don't do that. I don't care who they're for. I don't know why. I just
who they're for, what they're for.
Yeah, you know, everybody's got a right to be their own opinion. I have, they do. All right, Ponderosa, Sanibel, what's going on down there?
The Sanibel Bridge or Causeway at night has been, oh, geez, equally as good as the 41 Bridge has been for a mixed variety of tarpon, handful of snook, couple of Goliath grouper, hearing of an occasional black drum being caught there at night. It's been pretty impressive, except for the only major difference I must say there versus 41 Bridge is their snook much better quality size wise. You know, seems like a few less numbers, but definitely outperform it by size.
Well, I've been hearing a lot more bait down there than what we have in most locations up here, which that could help
absolutely
explain why they're a little bit heftier. I wonder why more fish don't move down there, though, since they've had fairly abundant bait down there. It's kind of surprising to me. And fairly abundant, of course, is a relative term. If you're expecting to just drive out there and cast net as much as you want, then you're going to be a little bit disappointed. But fairly abundant means you can actually find schools of bait.
Right.
Up here, the bait all started moving in. Anything else up on the Coosahatchee? I know up the trestle, the snook fishing was doing pretty good with the full moon. And as far as snook fishing goes.
Yeah, I haven't heard much up there.
The only report that I have is on the other side of the Franklin Lock, where there were 1,070,000 Mayan cichlids, big fat ones begging to be caught.
There you go. And that's, you can catch as many of those guys as you want.
You literally can fill the bed of your truck with Mayan cichlids if you want to.
Now,
and they're not bad eating at all.
Up the other side of the Franklin Lock?
Yeah, up the freshwater side.
And how would you target those guys?
Well, I'm going to save that for the freshwater report.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
We'll put it in there because that's where it actually fits. So, Matt Lachey, what's going on?
I have not heard anything from Matt Lachey this past week.
Heard some decent snook caught off the bridge. Not a whole lot, but some pretty good size ones, kind of like you were saying down there at the causeway.
Yeah, the guys that were at the club meeting the other night said that they've been seeing some snook and tarpon at some of the lights there in the Cape Coral canals as they've been coming out, but they haven't been fishing much because of the weather, but they're supposed to call me when they get out and breaks loose.
I had a guy also tell me he caught about half a dozen nice sheep's head. I'm not 100% sure I believe him, since nobody else was talking about them. But, hey, you know, some people, they specialize in those fish. That's all they really want to fish for. Everybody else switches to snook and tarpon. They're still sheep's head fishing.
I remember when people would travel from up north to Florida specifically to go sheephead fishing. Not, they, you know, and it's just funny. Anybody
sheep's head,
tells
Frank.
Me, yes.
Sheep's head.
Sheep's or sheep.
Sheep's head.
With an S or without the S?
With an S. A sheephead is that fish up north nobody wants. Listen, I'll unfriend you over this.
That's fine. I mean, I mean, people unfriend me all the time. I'm a jerk. You know, what the heck? I mean, I'm over-opinionated, arrogant, and...
That's all fine, as long as you say sheep's head.
Okay.
I'm totally good with the rest of it. I'm used to it. Sheep's head. Yeah.
Okay. Pine Island Sound, what's going on there?
That's actually probably one of your other better bets besides that Tailing Flats area down from Patricio all the way down to Captiva Rocks. That 3 to 5 feet of water, they're finding some better sized trout using pinfish, a handful of Spanish mackerel, some bluefish, a couple varieties of sizes and brands of sharks. There has been a few tarpon cruising along the edge of the intercoastal, both on the Pine Island side and on the backside of Cayo Costa and Captiva. They snook and redfish. Been mixed reports. Definitely better on the catch and release of the snook. The redfish, same thing. I'm hearing of a few here and there. Not good numbers, but most of them are on the oversize area. And they're catching most of those guys on pinfish primarily, also with a handful of guys catching them on the white bait that they're finding it on in that vicinity.
Yeah, the best redfish reports I've heard in the area have been around the Captiva Shoals, Captiva Rocks area on the incoming tides. And again, yeah, guys fishing with pinfish. Or I've also heard some guys fishing with the live target plastic pinfish.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard quite a bit of that lately. In clear water, this is going to be a pretty effective bait.
Well,
I think once the water gets a little murky, you're going to end up putting Pro-Cure or something on it.
Something to get a little bit of scent. Yeah. But especially in a year like this when live bait has been harder to come by, you know, it just happens to happen that this very lifelike bait comes out in that particular year. So I think that's really driven its popularity, is if you can't get live ones, you know, use the live target.
That, and they went to that same tail as the egret with that side-to-side action rather than the paddle tail. The paddle tail gives you one type of sound, but the side-to-side swimming tail, the swinging tail instead of the up-and-down paddle tail, really a different sound, different tone, and I think they might have got something there.
Yeah, at least temporarily. I mean, if somebody else switches to using that kind of tail and that's what the fish get used to associating with an artificial bait, then its effectiveness might taper off.
The egret has the ones with that same tail, and they come in a package of the same as the DOA Cal Shads or the Shad Assassins, the same body and everything, just the tail goes side to side instead of paddle tail up and down.
Right, but think about how many people use the egrets versus use the DOAs.
Oh, almost none.
Fish are not really used to that sound in the water and associating it with us.
If Mark Nichols brings that out in a DOA Cal Shad, that will explode it all over the place.
Yep.
Once Mark Nichols goes, okay, yeah, this is going to work.
I guess what I'm saying is jump on the bandwagon early and fish that bait while it's still working well.
It was like for the first 4 years of Storm Twitch.
Yeah.
Nothing touched it. Nothing came close. Now it's still way above average, but it's not the ultimate bait. It's just a really good bait.
Right, because we educate our fish. And after that, you know, you could probably cycle back to something that nobody else uses and start catching fish again because they're just not used to it.
In the hopefully this month, I'm going after redfish with my cotton cordel.
There you go.
And see if that works as good as it did back in the 80s, because it worked great for a while.
And who's using a cotton cordel now?
Nobody except me.
Just crazy old men.
But I got to watch what I say about that, because Pradco actually listens to the show. Pradco owns Bomber and Cotton Cordel and all that. And they actually want to sponsor one of the spots. So
I
should talk good about the cotton cordel.
That's how you're able to talk good about it, though, by saying, you know, here's this bait that nobody was using, and now I'm out here starting to use it again, and guess what? It's catching fish. So, hopefully.
I don't know. If
hopefully.
We'll find out. But I'll let you know the truth no matter what. I'm not ever going to lie for money, unless it's a lot.
Yeah.
I do have a price.
It's a high price, but it's there.
If you want me to lie about a lure, cough up some cash. I mean, and none of this, I'm going to give you product stuff. I mean, we're talking some serious money here.
You want to go on the record with a price, just in case?
Oh, we're well over 10 grand. I wouldn't do it for 10. 10 grand wouldn't interest me, but 20 or 30.
20, 25?
Yeah, definitely. I'll lie for you for 50.
So 50 is no question. 20 to 25, it's got to be...
Half a million, I'll lie to you, naked, standing on the roof on one hand. You know, I mean, I don't care.
There's a visual we need for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
Wow.
Somebody owes me $500,000 for my mental injuries.
I love it. All right,
somebody just swerved off the road.
Kill you. Come on. Yeah, all right. Yeah, so anyway.
Oh, Bokelia.
That was as close as I could get.
Okay. You took way too long on that. You got to be Johnny on the spot with that or forget it.
Yeah, I get it. I tried. All right. Anyway, Bokelia, Jug Creek Shoals.
The only thing I've gotten from Bokelia and Jug Creek has been some trout. You know, bigger size trout, fewer numbers, but bigger size trout. Once again, pinfish is dominating it as far as the bait of choice. I haven't heard much else, to be honest.
I've heard about some smaller tarpon over there in that 30, 50-pound range. Not any of the big ones, not any of the teeny tinies, but some of those mid to fun-sized tarpon hanging out over there.
Actually, those are exceptionally fun size.
Yep.
Now, the best thing to do is I would take the salt and pepper cow shad with chartreuse tail, and if you're catching trout there right now, there's going to be small gag grouper, and there's going to be puffers, and there's going to be a bunch of other stuff there to hit.
Yeah, and if you've got that chartreuse tail, you'll find every puffer out there on that
and
flat.
The nice thing about the puffers being there is you're going to throw those baits because you will be catching trout and whatever else, the grouper and all that, and the puffers will chew the tails off, and I will make more money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's why you need the chartreuse tail.
That's
Frank's retirement account.
That's where I'm going to go on vacation with those puffers and the chartreuse tail baits. All right, burnt store and two pints.
Burnt store, it's been a little hit or miss, but there's been a whole lot of catch and release small snook. A couple of bigger snook right along the bushes. Some of the redfish have been out there both on the flats and up under the bushes with some of these higher tides and warmer weather. They're obviously seeking some shade, but the key has been looking for some of the spots where there's a little bit more moving water. And the redfish, you know, when redfish Sunday, basically, where you're skewering your pinfish through its side, or a white bait if you can find it, has been working exceptionally well. Frozen shrimp has started to pick up a little bit over there, along with cut ladyfish and crabs for those bigger redfish. And then on the outside of the bar there, going south, there has been a few tarpon, enough where it's worth going over there and keeping an eye out for them. A couple of oddball small cobia and a handful of assorted sharks of sizes and flavors.
Yeah, up to about as big as you want to fight, too, if you're willing to chum up enough and put big baits out there and be patient. I've also heard about a school of decent-sized jacks running up and down the outside of that bar. Guys ran into them and were fishing topwaters for them and just having a hoot.
Yeah, that would be a blast, actually. Catching jacks on topwater is probably some of the most fun you can have.
Yep. They were actually out there looking for cobia, and they said they spotted a couple, but as soon as they started to approach them, they just vanished. And they saw something out there busting up water and said, well, go see what that is since we're not succeeding with these cobia. And that's what it turned out to be. Good-sized school of, they said, 10 to 12 pounders, so probably that's 6 to 8 pounders.
No, actually, there's several people been talking about up to 12-pound jacks in schools, more in the middle of the harbor and along, like, if they're going through Matt Lachey, right down the center of the boating channel and maybe hitting a little bit off the sides. But when they come up through the harbor, normally the jacks will go up on the sandbar and work down, but they're not.
Yeah, these were way on the outside of the bar. They said they were looking for cobia, and one of them just finally turned around to see what was behind them, and that's when they saw birds out there diving and water getting busted.
Yeah, and that fits right in with about a half a dozen other descriptions. So anyway, going up to the east side of the harbor, what's on the east side?
Mostly some scattered catch and release snook. A lot of, well, not a lot, but a handful of oversized redfish. The trout, kind of the same scenario. They're scattered on the flat to on the outside of the bar there in that 2 to 4 feet of water, even 5 feet of water. No numbers, but better quality fish, 22, 25 inch. Mostly, most of them are all being caught on pinfish there again. Just drifting them on a bobber or casting them out to some of the sand holes and letting them drift around for a little bit and seeing what comes along and eats them.
There's also catfish in impressive numbers and in impressive sizes willing to take those pinfish or your shrimp or whatever it is that you want to throw out there. Talk to some folks who were even catching them on fly rod. So when the catfish are thick enough that they're willing to take your flies, then there's probably a lot of them.
That's pretty interesting.
That would actually be kind of fun to do. Is get a 7-weight or a 6-weight fly rod with a manual reel, no drag, and go out and, you know, if you got a drag, you might as well take a spinning reel.
Right.
But if you just use a cheap line holder reel and get a 6-7-weight, you know, fly rod, that might actually be fun.
Yeah, well, that's how it is with fly gear. You know, if you're ever considering a fly rod purchase, you get a nice rod and you get a cheap reel. Unless you're going tarpon fishing and you have to have a drag or whatever. Right. But, you know, that's the way to do it. The reel is mostly just there to hold line. It's not there to fight the fish. You fight the fish yourself. Totally, totally different way of doing things.
Yeah, once you have a good reel on that fly rod, you might as well be fishing a spinning reel.
There's pretty much
not enough difference in my viewpoints to justify, you know, that time in the air otherwise.
Yep.
All right. This brings us down up to Alligator Creek, and Alligator Creek is sponsored by Ackline HR. They're a payroll company, an employee company, employee leasing company. I didn't know the difference between what they do and the other ones until they started doing my payroll and everything. The people who are employed by me are actually employed by them, because I wanted somebody who took responsibility for the taxes, responsibility for fines, responsibility for all of it. And you got to be sure, if you're having somebody do your payroll and all that other kind of stuff, that you're not on the hook. I have one company, all of a sudden I got a fine in the mail because they didn't do the payroll taxes correctly. I got fined, they wouldn't do anything. With Ackline, they're in control of it. They accept the responsibility to take care of everything, workman's comp, everything.
Well, because you don't actually have anybody working for you.
No, they actually work for Ackline. And it's called employee leasing, but people have a funny idea about that. But this is some great folks, and it's not costing me any more for them than it was for the company where I had all the liability. They did the work and got the money, and I accepted liability? No.
Yeah.
I went with Ackline.
Not cool.
And I've been with them for over a year now, and they were one of the first people I called to sponsor this because they had asked me about it before. And nice folks. The click that takes you right to their website, but really nice folks at Ackline. So anyway, Alligator Creek Poacher's Cut.
I have not heard anything at all.
That was
in
the only problem I thought with him sponsoring this. I mean, his business is right there, and the Alligator Creek goes right by them, and he wanted Alligator Creek because it's such a cool place.
And it usually is, but they're doing that dredging there, and it's just been a screwy year this year.
But the guys who live there in Bernstorr and run out into Alligator Creek, some of them don't go all the way out. They've been finding some smaller tarpon in there, a handful of trout, a handful of redfish and snook back in there up underneath the mangroves. It hasn't been great fishing. You know, the guys who are saying that they're finding the most are probably the ones who are looking for those little tarpon, and they're doing okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah, the local guys
so
are staying.
You got to
right
put
there.
Yourself way up the creek to get those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Ackline, love you guys. But man, I've tried so hard to say something good about that spot now, and it's just kind of there. But
it will.
Really.
Yeah, it just kind of is.
Better.
It will.
It will. It'll get better. All right. Ponce de Leon Park.
I talked to a guy who wade fished out there, and he caught nothing at all.
Wading out there, and he caught nothing, really?
Nothing at all.
Wow.
That doesn't happen very often.
No.
Usually,
yeah. And he looked like he knew what he was doing. He was wearing a red zone shirt and everything.
Wow,
so.
Yeah, he must know exactly what he's doing.
Well, I'm sorry, Frank. It wasn't a Fish and Frank shirt. Not everybody could be wearing one of those.
Yeah, well, you know, it would have been more believable, you know. At least I'm still in business. You know? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he said that he had been out there fishing for a couple hours and he hadn't caught anything. The only thing he saw was a manatee.
Gotcha. Well, man, watching.
There has been.
And by the way, I don't know if you had this earlier when we talked about the 75 bridge. Driving over the 75 bridge today, I saw a manatee orgy going on below me.
Yes. Yeah. Probably on the north end by the flat side
yep.
on the north end.
Yep.
I fish there quite a bit because I live up in that area. And I was sitting, I had a 15-foot flats boat back then. And when I stood on the back corner, put the back corner of the boat literally 2-3 inches out of the water, standing there barefoot, and we were catching jacks and some trout and just, you know, having a generally pretty good time. And all of a sudden, something went, poof, and this big, wet, heavy thing came down on the top of my foot.
Nice.
Yeah. I about...
I would have jumped to the bow. I would have jumped 15 feet to the bow.
Oh, man, that just killed me. I was sitting there, and a manatee came up and laid its head, put its face right on my foot, you know, begging. They want, you know, something to eat or
right.
water or something.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he just came up, dropped that big old
slimy mouth. That might have been an invitation
right
to go on a date.
Could have been. You know, could have been.
I don't know.
It was a pretty good looking manatees.
Soldiers mistook manatees for mermaids. Maybe manatees mistake us for.
I've never been on a boat that long, and I've been on a boat for a pretty long time at one trip. And I can honestly tell you, those guys must have been like 8 years on that boat without
contact. Well, you're out there, you're all ate up with rickets and anemia and haven't had
rum.
Any...
They used to give you rum.
Yeah.
Often.
Yeah.
I can see if you were, you know, day off, doing a lot of rum and, you know, manatee popped up because they say that's the basis of mermaids.
Yeah.
It's the most butt-ugly mermaid I can ever imagine. My goodness. All right.
Well, if it was in this area, you know, we got a lot of mushrooms growing wild. So.
Yeah, that could have been. All right. PGI canals. Anybody doing anything in the PGI canals?
Yeah, it's actually been pretty good in there. The mouth of the canals, just because of all this rain, has moved some fish out right to the entrances.
Right.
A lot of juvenile tarpon. Some big jacks in the 5 to 10 pound range, some catch and release snook. I've heard of a handful of bigger mangrove snapper, and then the black drum. You know, they move around a lot, so it's really hard to peg one canal over the other, but guys are starting to see a lot more black drum around, and they're starting to see those white ones and those, you know, off yellowish gold ones. You know, so it's catching their attention now, seeing those different colored black drum. All which right. is kind
of
interesting.
I know we're pushing the boundaries of good taste on the length of the show, but I got to ask, Josh, two questions. One, any ideas? My only reasoning behind the white and kind of pink and whatever color black drum would be the only other time I've ever seen that phenomenon is in largemouth bass in a golf course pond. I've seen that there. Why do you think, and that's just for
lack of structure
or whatever, but... Why do you think the black drum would turn those unbelievable shades of light color?
Right, those pinks and those oranges and those weirdnesses that show up.
The whites, the pink oranges.
I mean, I have to assume it's environmental, but I never really gave much thought to exactly what environmental conditions would produce those weird colors.
I have seen largemouth bass, those same colors, come out of golf course ponds.
But we're not seeing black drum in the golf course ponds.
No,
I mean, we do see them in
you
the canals,
think about it,
but
in the ones in the very back of PGI, the conditions would be pretty similar because most of those people pay to have their lawn maintained.
Right.
So that means more.
Got all kinds of chemicals going into
chemicals,
the water.
All that sprinklers that run a lot, more like a golf course because you know everybody in PGI wants their houses to look nice, rightfully so. It's a nice area, but I kind of if you equate the two and the what they do to land around the canals there in PGI versus what a golf course would do, that would be very similar, I think.
Yeah, I would think so. But you see that same those same weird colorations in big drum that show up all over the place, you know.
Okay.
I don't know that they would all have moved in from the back of a canal someplace.
I'm not arguing that. That's
I don't
why
know.
It was a proposed question.
Yeah.
The other thing is I have several reports and have seen it myself of big schools of black drum coming in through Gasparilla Pass. I've been there and saw it, and I thought they did it in other passes. And Robert and I got thinking about it. I've never heard of any place besides Gasparilla Pass where people have actually seen big schools of drum come in. Have you had any you people talk about that?
Yeah, I've heard about that, but that always seems to be the area that they come through.
All right, here's the big part of the question. Have you ever heard of a school of large monster black drum leaving the harbor?
No.
I've never heard of it either, Robert.
And neither have I, no.
All right, so all three of us who talked to
hundreds of
literally
people
during the course of a year, tens of thousands of people fishing. And we've all heard about schools of black drum coming in. Now, as near as we can figure out, they come in through Placida, go down the intercoastal, around by Devilfish, Cape Hayes, go up through to the middle hole, or the Pirate Harbor hole, the middle hole, end up at the top by the 20-foot hole, maybe making it up to the Myakka, coming back down the west side. The loop may take them down towards the, what do you call that area coming out of Mat Lache?
Mat Lache Pass?
Could be, I guess. Okay.
Yeah.
By Boquilla there, Jug Creek, over towards Two Pines. And in that area, and then back up here in the harbor, you know, all through that main section of the harbor. But then...
they seem to scatter.
And that's what Robert was proposing, because we hear about the big schools, all thousands of fish or hundreds of fish in a school, And then the next thing we hear is at 41 Bridge, they're up in the PGI Canals, they're in Port Charlotte.
Up the Peace River.
Up the Peace River. They seem
to be... Well, kind of similar to what our tarpon do. You know, if you go out there into the Gulf of Mexico and you see tarpon coming in, migrating across the Gulf in very large schools of fish...
And you can set your compass to Boca Grande Pass.
Absolutely. But they get here, and nobody ever sees those giant schools of fish leaving here. They scatter around. Some of them move on up the Gulf. Some of them head down south a little ways. Some of them move up into the harbor. They move up into the rivers. It seems like a similar type of pattern, and... Not exactly the same, but they show up in a big group, and they disappear by their ones and twos and little groups.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be what's going on.
That kind of makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much what you said, except, you know, a little more detailed. But, yeah, so anyway, we're all on the same page with that. Because it's just weird, all those reports. We're just, you know.
And the other weird thing is about it is that we never really hear the guys seeing them offshore the way they do with redfish.
No.
When they migrate in. You know, migrate, guys are out there trolling for kings, and they'll hook redfish, or they'll see schools of redfish sitting on the surface throughout time, you know, in the fall, in the September, October-ish time of year. But we never hear those black drum doing that same thing. And yet they sit on the surface in the harbor, in the canals. They tail just like a redfish does. I mean, they are essentially a redfish, you know, close cousin.
They're similar enough that they can actually interbreed. They can produce a hybrid fish.
So you would think that you would hear of guys seeing them offshore as they're migrating in, and have never, ever heard of that.
So here's a possibility.
Maybe the
too.
Behavior is different enough that they don't come up to the surface out there in the Gulf, though. Maybe they stay down towards the bottom. And more often than not, we don't see them on the surface here in the harbor. We see the muds. You know,
and
you will occasionally
very close
see
to the surface.
But yeah,
they'll boil the surface a little bit, not splashing, but where their backs are coming out of the water, disturbing the surface.
Right.
Let's say. Okay. All right. Well, let's move on to Gilcrest Pier.
Zero, nothing, nada. You heard anything?
No, I caught a stingray out there 2 years ago.
Okay. Alligator Creek Reef, tons of spade fish.
Spade fish.
Yep, spade fish. Reef.
I know a guy who gets super excited about those spade fish being out there. He catches them on pieces of squid suspended underneath the float.
Yeah, I use peeled shrimp meat and number 6 hooks under a bobber. More fun is to take a little crappie jig, slice the shrimp tail up, peel the shell off, quarter inch pieces, just put right on the hook of that little crappie jig, and then literally just jig fish for them. And what a phenomenal fun. They're great. Great, a lot of fun fish.
Well,
very fun to catch fish.
Anything disc shaped like that that will turn and fight you. I mean, that's just a jack style fight.
Yeah.
So,
and you really want them, you know, more than 10 inches to keep. The meat's not real thick on the sides, a little bit gray, but still very good to eat. Very tasty fish.
Now,
very sought after table fish in the Carolinas.
Gray,
I mean,
when it's raw,
targeted,
right?
Targeted.
Yeah.
And then white when it's cooked.
Yep.
Yeah.
Usually freaks people out a little bit.
Well, a lot of people get turned off by weird things like that. But, you know, sometimes you find freshwater fish that the meat is orange, or you'll cut
your
into...
Your cichlids.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your Oscars.
Yeah. Or you'll cut into a catfish and the meat will be funny looking, grayish like that. But, again, it's beautiful and white when you cook it, and delicious.
Yeah. All right. There have been some cobia and some tarpon still at the Alligator Creek Reef. Putting possible tarpon, because out of the 5 people I've talked to who've been in the reef in the last week or so, 3 of them have seen tarpon rolling. Nobody's caught any, but they've seen them rolling, but they weren't targeting them either. They were out there actually fishing for fish, and that's what brought up the spade fish, because every single one of them said, man, there was 1,000 fish went by, black and white, and they wouldn't hit anything. I threw live shrimp at them. I put lures at them. And if you're going to catch them, live shrimp won't work. Lures don't really work. Little peeled shrimp meat. They're not big on the shell on the shrimp. They
What's the name of that little jellyfish out there again?
Sea walnuts.
Sea walnuts?
Yeah.
What's the other name for them?
Tinafores.
Tinafores?
Yeah.
Tinafores.
Okay. Tinafores. Not Tina Force. That's,
I was gonna
you
say,
remember
I
her from the school. That's a different girl.
Tina. No, I remembered her from a club, but, you know, it was Tinafores. Okay. Now, there's going to be kids named Tinafores. With the way people name their kids nowadays, Tinafores is going to be a big name.
That's a good name.
Once this comes out, I actually think it'd be a nice name for a girl.
Yeah.
Tinafore. Now, I don't think it'd be a good name for Robert. I can't really look at him and say Tinafore.
You want me to spell it for you?
Sure.
CTENOPHORES.
And you win the spelling competition.
Did you write that down?
We have here a charger that will charge an e-cigarette. Well, I know we don't smoke
really
or use
that.
E-cigarettes, but it's what you won in the spelling competition. You know,
that's a lousy prize.
It was a lousy competition. You were the only one in it. So okay, deep holes in the harbor. What's going on out there?
All the catfish you want.
Yeah,
lots and lots and lots of catfish.
Yeah.
Guys are catching them, even throwing topwaters out there.
Right.
There has been a handful of tarpon sightings out there. Nobody really catching any because, once again, most of the guys aren't really trying to target them. There has been some Atlantic sharpnose, still some bonnetheads out there in the open, some baby bull sharks. There has been some bigger bull sharks and a couple bigger lemons moving in, especially down there in the lower 20-foot hole and then around the Pirate Harbor hole area. I think some of those are either last-minute puppers or they're actually coming in here to feed on their pups.
Feed on their sister's pups is what they want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't know the difference. They don't care.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that's some of the activity that's been going on out there.
I've heard of a couple of nurse sharks also. And, of course, if you want to go out there and shark fish when we have all these catfish going on, it's the easiest thing in the world. Just go out there, catch a catfish, gut it, put it back on the hook, drop it back down to the bottom. Here comes a shark.
Yep. I don't even know if you have to gut it, just unzip them.
Yeah.
That's all I would do. Punch a couple holes in them, weaken them up, throw them out there while he's still twitching but slowly bleeding out.
Now, of course, you do that with the hardhead catfish because the sail cats you should be putting in your cooler and taking home to eat because they're delicious.
So something I just added to this fishing report page is the tarpon report stuff on here. So what are we talking about tarpon? Now, the tarpon have been working along the beaches. And during the full moon,
they'll be doing it also on the new moon coming up here in, what, a week and a half?
I don't remember when the new moon is, but I think it's sooner than that.
Okay.
The full moon was on the 9th, I think.
Was it that late? I
believe the full moon was the 9th.
Okay. For some reason, I was thinking it was like the 5th or something.
No.
4th.
Because we wrote your column. Full moon snapper fishing, and I think that was on the 9th that came out.
Okay.
All right, now
the 8th, maybe.
All right, they're in the
Where
pass.
Am I?
They're in the passes up till about, what, 9, 10 o'clock, and then you got to come up on the hill?
Yeah, they're staying in the pass, and then they're moving up onto the hill. But there has been some fish on the hill and out on the pan in the early morning, so you just kind of move through that whole 3-4 mile stretch there and see what you find. And then it's been primarily an early morning bite from an hour before sunrise to, you know, 10 o'clock or so. And then it seems to slow down a little bit. And then the afternoon, it picks back up again somewhere on that 4 or 5 o'clock time frame. And the fish start to light up just about everywhere, too, out there off the beaches and around the passes. And it seems like the fish are moving both directions up and down the beaches. They don't seem to have one consistent pattern right now. And then, of course, the night fishing is a completely different animal anywhere out in that vicinity or up here. You know, that one, we wait for the traffic to slow down a little bit, an hour or 2 hours after sunset. Once that traffic slows down in Placida or especially 41 in Sanibel, those fish have been really, really starting to turn on and doing very well.
Now, the nice thing about this past week is that I've been talking to more people who've been actually successful with catching tarpon rather than getting frustrated by seeing tarpon roll and trying to get them and not having any success at all, not getting any of those connections. And people have been out on the beach. They've been finding schools of fish, getting out in front of them, casting baits to them, and actually getting them to take, which has been nice because, you know, I've been hearing the same thing from people for weeks, that they get up on the fish, they see them, they cast into them, and they just ignore it. Not interested. But now it seems like the fish are more actively feeding, and guys are having success with crabs, guys are having success with threadies. Whatever, you know, bait-sized fish you want to throw out there. We talked this morning about leatherjacks and butterfish, and Captain Mike was talking about using shrimp.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Go figure.
Yeah. All right, and that's what they've been catching them on down at the 41 Bridge and at the Sanibel Causeway, too. Been doing good on those at night, you know, with the shrimp, which is a little bit more out of character.
Now, you need a giant shrimp, right?
No. No. Honestly, you kind of match the hatch. If you can get a little bit bigger shrimp, it is nice. Something like the size of your middle finger. It's nice to have that size
like
shrimp.
Like this big? This big right here?
Yeah, about that size.
Okay.
Pretty close. It just makes it
That's
easier to cast
them.
That's
why we don't do a... When we do this show, we do not have a video version of it yet.
Yep. You just use your imagination at this point.
B-R-I... All right, there's a lot of misspellings I'm going to have to go. Okay, bait report. Some thread fins in the middle of the harbor.
Are they tarpon-sized threadies or are they smaller threadies?
Smaller,
catfish size.
Yeah. What's going on in Boquilla?
There's been bait there off and on, but not consistent. And then the pinfish have been more consistent down there.
Yeah, and most of what I've heard about hasn't had much size to it either.
No, the pinfish have been like that silver dollar size, 2 to 3 inches. You can base that off of what we've been getting for our deliveries of pinfish. But that is kind of normal for this time of year. You've got that first hatch going on and finally getting just a little bit of size to it. And the bigger ones have moved offshore to spawn or out into the deeper water in that 12, 15 feet of water range around like marker 6, marker 5. Be out there in that little bit deeper water where you have to sabiki them up for the most part.
All right. Any other bait reports from anywhere?
There's been
just
a handful,
some random
lot
schools
on the beaches.
Yeah, random schools off the beaches.
Nothing super exceptional.
And it's been mixed different stuff, too. There's been some threadies. There's been some white bait, but there have been some leather jacks. One guy was catching cigar minnows. Another guy was catching Spanish sardines. But, again, it's not, you know, you can go out there and target exactly what you want. It's just, let's go find a bait school and catch whatever it is that's out here, and that's what we're using.
Yeah, it's been a little on the tough side, unfortunately. And I'm sure some of that has to do with the mixed reports this week because of how overcast it's been, so it makes it even harder to find them out there.
Yeah, when there's actual raindrops falling on the water, it's harder to see them dimpling.
Freshwater. Ponds,
one more thing about that bait report. On the plus side, there have been a lot of squirrel fish out there. Guys have had very little trouble finding squirrel fish to catch. So if you want to use those, obviously they're a tarpon bait and a grouper bait, but they also make a fantabulous snook bait.
Yeah, and they're also great as a cut bait too. Personally, I'd rather eat them, but
if it's big enough to cut, I'm eating it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been impressive because usually in years past the squirrel fish have been a little on the trickier side to get.
Yeah, but they've been awesome out there. I mean, even just drifting over bare sand, you're picking up squirrels.
Well, that's actually where I used to look for them.
Yeah, but you know, you'd expect to have one here and one there, and you'd spend a while trying to catch them on that bare sand like that. If there were no rocks or anything around, you know, guys want to go out to the markers out there off Boca Grande to catch them, but you know, there have actually been enough of them that literally bare sand, you can go out and catch them. And it hasn't been that way for the last few years. Not if you wanted any kind of numbers.
Gotcha. All right. Now let's get into the freshwater stuff. What do we got freshwater going on?
Well, there was a whole pile of Mayan cichlids at the Franklin Locks.
And that's down in Fort Myers.
That's down in Fort Myers, yeah. On the freshwater side.
Spell cichlids again.
C-I-C-H-L-I-D-S.
Good thing you got the spelling bee going on.
It is. I won another prize. Useful one this time.
You won one of these.
You have won your very own 3-foot. See, listen, it even makes noise. It sounds just like a clicker, so you can, when you get, you know, a fish Jones going on, you can...
Yeah,
pull out your tape. It's a 3-foot cloth tape measure.
That's
and this is all yours for being
not able as
to
bad
spell.
As the first it, thing, I, but it's pretty bad.
I thought it was pretty cool. Yeah, like, hey, I thought you know you'd be like into that one.
I love the injured voice. I thought it was pretty cool.
I really did. I was
and those have been eating both worms and beetle spins.
Yeah, Calusa hatchie. C-A-L-U-S...
C-A-L-O-O-S...
C-A-L-O-O-S...
A...
H... H...
A...
T...
T... C... H... E... E...
Really?
I could just tell him anything, couldn't I?
Yeah, I mean, I was just going with it there. Calusa, actually, I'm like... All right. Bass fishing has been doing real good. in quite a few of the places, the rain has really brought stuff up.
But let's pay attention to where we're fishing, because if you're fishing, for example, the retention ponds on the sides of King's Highway, the ones on the one side that are shallower, if you're headed out towards Arcadia, they're on your right-hand side, those dried up. I mean, most of the fish that were in them had disappeared, unless you get all the way down to the end, down there by Peter's Restaurant. So if you're fishing in those, you're mostly fishing for tadpoles right now.
Yeah.
So you got to know where there was some water for those fish to still be in.
Right. But
Sleeping Turtle Preserve.
Sleeping Turtle Preserve. A lot of fish up there, and they were catching mine cichlids there and all kinds of other stuff. And what else was going on?
A lot of the spill dams were flowing pretty good along Hillsboro, along Nine Mile Canal and Cocoa Plum also.
I don't think they're running right now, though.
No, they're not. But some of those culvert pipes that are running under the road have at least some better flowing water right now. So some of the guys have been catching some bluegill, some shell crackers, and occasional small bass around those.
And if you really want to fish those, because everybody and their mama fishes them, get out there early. Be sneaky. Don't be stomping up there over there. The fish know that you're walking around up there.
I can't remember the name of the park. It's on my website up in Northport.
Deer Prairie Creek?
Yeah, what is it?
Deer Prairie Creek.
Deer Prairie Creek. The guy said the fishing there has been really good.
That's a fun park, too. You've been in there, haven't you?
I don't think I have.
No?
It's really
right before
place.
River Road, about a mile before River Road on your right-hand side.
Hmm.
It's a nice little spot. It's a silly little entrance, hard to see. It's right at that big curve as you're leaving Northport, heading just before River Road.
Okay.
It's a pretty cool little park. And if I remember right, it is dog friendly too.
Cool.
Could be. All right. Well,
my dog's not park friendly.
I know, but you know what I'm saying. It's still kind of nice to have those availabilities once in a while.
Definitely.
All right. Anything else going around in the area that we need to talk about? Anywhere going on?
Just a lot of really. It's, you know, we're in that transition period. It went literally from complete Sahara.
You're not allowed to say transition anymore, because we've been saying transition literally for a year and a half on almost every show.
But we are constantly in transition.
I am not disagreeing that we are.
We jumped from one side of the fence to the other right now, because we went from the Sahara Desert 10 days ago to the Amazon literally in a 12-day period.
But I am literally looking at, I mean, I don't remember a show where we haven't talked about transition in like 2 years.
Okay, but literally, when are we not in a transition period here in Southwest Florida? It's always transitioning from something to another.
Wrong.
It's transitioning from
tired
of hearing it. Wet. It's transitioning from wet and hot into wet and hotter.
I'm tired of hearing it. Okay. We're always transitioning. Okay, I got it.
That's true. Okay, so
then
Robert
we're done for
means
the day.
To
come
say,
up with another word.
Rainy season. How's that?
The rainy drought's over.
Season. So rainier season.
The drought's over.
And
how's that?
Which has begun to move a lot of fish around. You're going to find incoming tide on the east side to be better fishing. The first half of the outgoing tide on the west side is going to be much better fishing because of the loop of the water. Incoming tide comes in through. For us, not Pine Island South, but for everybody north of Bernstorr, the incoming tide waters come in, goes up the east side, will deflect off of Punta Gorda. And as that water, if the tide's long enough, will create a pocket of nice salt there on that upper harbor. When you get the outgoing tide, it pushes that salt down through the west side. It's the only time that west side will see salt water at this point. And that gets a lot of little stuff stirred up. So incoming tide on the east side, first half of the outgoing tide on the west side, is going to be some of your better bet. And because of it's not about getting enough salt to get the fish excited. It's about to get enough salt to get their food excited. Once that starts milling around, that's when everything picks up.
Yeah, right. And we're going to be seeing a lot more of that stuff going on. The little rainwater killifish that most of us never see, but that actually are an extremely important forage species here in Charlotte Harbor. Those are going to be firing up. If you ever wondered why orange and purple work well in the harbor certain times of year, that's part of the reason why, because those rainwater killies have a lot of that coloration. We're going to see the sailfin mollies firing up and getting much more active, moving farther down the harbor.
I was looking at my boat ramp. I didn't see hardly any killifish there. I don't know if something came in and ate them out, or if the salt kind of knocked them back or what?
At your boat ramp?
Yeah.
The main thing that I see down there are the little saltwater gambusia, the mosquito fish.
Oh, gotcha.
And I still saw some of those down there. In fact, when we were down there on Thursday, I saw some over there.
All right.
So there's been a lot of that kind of stuff moving around, but
they're
a lot of
little
that stuff
buddies,
is...
because I'll be walking by there, and then all of a sudden a snook or something will just come in and just smack one off that, you know, that light-colored boat ramp.
Mm-hmm.
And it always never fails to startle you or entertain.
Well, both.
Very good. Both.
You're startletained.
Yeah, I'm startletained. Very good. Now, see, why couldn't you do that for transition? You can do startletain. I mean, all right. I'm sorry. You know, I mean, there is a relative expectation you've created here with this.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry, I apologize.
All right. So anyway, that's the wrong one. All right. And that's the wrong one. We'll go with this one. Okay.
Oh boy.
All right. Anyway. I'm sure we've all had enough of this. This is Fish and Frank. We started the show with Captain Morris Campbell. Had a major computer glitch. Never hit two keys at the same time unless you're really sure what they are. Fixed by Captain Gale on the phone. And see, it's dinging already. And Robert's in the chair across me. We finished up with Josh Olive, publisher of the Waterline magazine and host of Radio Waterline.
And the Fish Coach.
And the Fish Coach. You can hire Josh to coach you in your fishing. He will go out with you in your boat, or he will meet you on land, or you meet him here in the store or whatever, and he shows you how to do all that stuff, the fish coach thing. And let's see, what else is going on? I guess that's about it, because I really don't have anything going on for me, you know, like Robert's the walking encyclopedia.
He's the walking dictionary / encyclopedia.
Well, I do have one last word of advice, which is watch out for the bugs.
The bugs?
The bugs.
Lots of mosquitoes.
So many bugs.
I actually have one last thing
to say.
Ready
to carry you away.
All right. What's the other?
Tomorrow's Father's Day.
Oh, okay.
Happy Father's Day to everybody out there, and enjoy your family and your time, and enjoy it while you can.
All right.
Nice. Nice touch.
Well, I'm thinking that's for the bugs. What is so new about the bugs?
Nothing is new. It's just taken some people by surprise because it's been so less wet, and now it's more wet, and the more wet has all the frogs going and it has all the bugs going, and some people just have not been prepared for that transition.
Okay. I got it. All right. Yeah, we're going to try this one more time. We're going to transition our way out of the show here. Get back into the real world. Ed Fish and Frank in the chair, Robert in the chair across me, and Josh Oliver in the guest seat.
Bye, kids.
Bye. Say bye, Robert.
Goodbye, Robert.
Okay.